Baseball PhD podcast segment to remember, 2010.
This next interview comes from episode 14, Cincinnati Reds.
Next door to the Great American Ballpark along the Ohio River is a great museum that all Americans should see.
The National Underground Railroad Freedom Center.
Here, Ed interviews Paul Burnish.
A great baseball PhD. Welcome to Paul Burnish from a great organization in Cincinnati, the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. Did I slaughter your name?
You got it right.
I got it right. And, you know, your organization was a gem that I found by going to a Reds game last year. And I visited your museum for 3 hours. And you know what? It forever changed the way I thought of the Ohio River, of my home state of Ohio, and of, you know, slavery. Why don't you tell the folks out in the internet world that listen to us through our podcast, when you visit the center, you have a beginning movie. And that movie I saw, how people are swimming across the Ohio River for freedom, take it away, but what a wonderful museum you have.
Well, I appreciate it very much, Ed. Thank you. It sounds like you really got what we're trying to do. The museum is based right on the banks of the Ohio River in downtown Cincinnati, and it tells the story of the escape to freedom by slaves in the period leading up to the American Civil War. Cincinnati, at that time in history, was one of the largest cities in the country, and it was a very vibrant and flourishing river port. But it was also a crossing point for slaves from Kentucky and further south, trying to move to freedom by crossing into Ohio, which was a free state, and then moving northwards to Canada. So there's a lot of history right here in this part of the country, and that's what we try to explain and illuminate in our exhibits and programs. We have several movies, an orientation movie, and probably the one that's most well known is about a half hour film narrated by Oprah Winfrey that shows the story of a young couple trying to escape to freedom across the Ohio River and being helped along the Underground Railroad as they make their way north to freedom. It's a pretty inspiring story.
No, it's very inspiring. In fact, Paul, it's impossible now for me to go to Great American Ballpark or go to Paul Brown Stadium and not look at the Ohio River and say, wow, there was a day when people would risk their lives for freedom. And what the movie depicted is once you hit Ohio, that didn't mean that folks from Kentucky wouldn't cross the river and come hunt you down also.
That's exactly right. It was it's not a well-known fact, but after about 1850, from 1850 until the Civil War started in 1861, slave owners in the South were allowed in federal law to pursue their escaping slaves into free states. So they have bounty hunters, or they themselves would mount up on horses and take out and try to find their escaping slaves. And you could be literally plucked off the street if you were a slave and taken back into slavery. Now, that being said, it was probably one of the biggest mistakes the slave owners made, because it helped turn public opinion against slavery.
Right.
Because, you know, Americans didn't like the idea of somebody, you know, escaping to freedom and then being literally kidnapped back into slavery.
And that's what made these poor slaves that were fleeing have to go to Canada. Instead
exactly.
of, I'm in a free state now. And I'm very proud as an Ohioan that Ohio was always a free state. But let's walk our listeners through. When we walk into your wonderful museum, is it two or three stories tall?
Well, the building itself is actually five stories, but we have two floors of exhibit space. And our main area is called, where our tour start is in the Grand Hall, which is itself a two-story, very large expanse that looks out on the Ohio River and contains a number of important artifacts. One is a very large textile wall hanging called the Raganon, which depicts the story of the African experience from slavery to freedom, both, you know, in a global sense as well as in a personal sense, of the artist, a woman named Amina Robinson, who's from Columbus, Ohio. And that's very colorful, very lively, textile. It's like an oversized quilt. But in addition to that, on the same floor, we have a real slave pen. We've discovered this slave pen existing on a tobacco farm in Kentucky, right across the river. And we were able to determine that it was, in fact, a real slave pen. So we had it taken apart, fumigated, and then reconstructed in our museum. Now, what's a slave pen? A lot of people don't know what it is. A slave pen was essentially a distribution center for human beings. Slave owners would arrange for the purchase of slaves, and then they had to be transported to farms and plantations and resold and so forth. And the slave pen served as a kind of a way station or a distribution center for human beings. The one that we have here housed as many as 70 men, women, and children at any given time. And, you know, a lot of people come and see that, and it's an emotional experience. It's for many people, I think, particularly for the descendants of slaves, it's a very emotional, impactful experience.
That was the slave pen. When I saw that and went into it, I will never forget that. And we forget, I mean, America has never been perfect, and sometimes we want to talk about our founding fathers and how they were godlike creatures and all that, but even they could not solve the problem of slavery at the inception of our country. And to think of maybe a George Washington or a Benjamin Franklin knowing that a slave pen was a slave pen. And when I saw it, and just the human toll of saying, wow, can you imagine 100 or 200 slaves here being treated like golden retriever puppies, families being separated? And that's where the theory of the textbook that I learned as a student became reality, when I could touch and see a slave pen.
Yeah, I think that's right. Many people will tell us that they come to the museum here and they have a general understanding of slavery and this and the story of the Underground Railroad, but not many detail. And then they come here and they experience the slave pen and they see some of our movies and our exhibits, and they say, "Wow, it's like a whole chapter opening up. I didn't realize
exactly
what the history really was about." So I think that's very positive. I'm glad you mentioned, by the way, the founding fathers. Because one of the things I do here is I give tours to a lot of foreign visitors. The Freedom Center has become almost a kind of a must-see museum for
sure.
International visitors. And oftentimes they will say, you know, what we don't understand is how could America proclaim that all men are created equal and then allow slavery? And, you know, when you give them the explanation, then it makes sense. And the explanation in brief was that I think the founding fathers, many of whom were slave owners, realized that slavery was a moral evil and would eventually be done away with. But at that time, it was simply not possible to move aggressively in that direction.
Right.
And they basically foretold a civil war. They basically said this was going to be resolved, and it was probably going to be resolved through very bloody conflict, and they were right.
And I'll give you a deep thought, because my background, I'm also an attorney and a former member of the Ohio House of Representatives. I've heard some people that will mistakenly say, hey, in the Constitution, we said that a slave shall be counted as 3/5 of a person. How terrible. And my argument, or what I've always read, is no, that was actually a wise political compromise, because if we treated a slave as one full vote, that would have given the South exaggerated political power so that there would not have been a stalemate that would have caused a civil war. You might have had the Union saying, we need to succeed because you guys are running the federal government and you will forever be for slavery because of your agricultural economy. So, you know, the founding fathers kind of said, we want to create America, but we can't solve this issue right now. We'll live and fight another day on that. But regardless of that, the human toll of slavery, going to your place made me 100 times more empathetic on why Lincoln was right, and I'm glad that he finally came to the right decision that we had to do what we had to do.
Yeah, you know, and if I may, let me link this a little bit to baseball, and that's because, as we mentioned at the outset, the Freedom Center sits right next door to Great American Ballpark, where the Reds play,
right,
and was inside of the Cincinnati Bengals Stadium. And both teams, through the years, either through the coaches, typically the coaches and sometimes the general manager, they've always come here for tours. The Reds players come, the managers come, the Bengals players come as they're doing their training camp. And, you know, if you look at rosters of teams, you have a lot of minority ball players, both Hispanic and Latinos, as well as African-American players. And I think everybody really benefits from seeing this story. And then, and we've heard players say this was just a revelation to them, and it just totally changed their perspective. So I'm glad to say that we're at least helping to some level of understanding within teams.
No, you're doing a great work. And in closing, you know, Baseball PhD, we're dedicated to helping fans get a PhD in life through baseball. Red alert, red alert, red alert. If you are in Cincinnati, only a fool would go to Great American Ballpark and not go to the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. It's next door. Your hours are like 11 to 5. You spend an afternoon there. You go to a night game. But all Americans, not just minority baseball players, all Americans that love freedom must visit the wonderful National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. Paul, thank you for being on our show.
Oh, thanks very much. I appreciate being on.
This has been a Baseball PhD production. Copyright 2010.